Welcome to worship. My name is Mark White, and I serve as senior pastor at Forest Hills Baptist Church. Forest Hills is a moderate Baptist church located in central Raleigh near the NC State campus. We are a passionate, international, intergenerational church community building deeply devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. Our vision is to love God, love people, and live the gospel. And we're trying to live out this vision by serving and caring for our community. We invite you to be a part of our church family. And again, I offer you my welcome.
Welcome. What a joy it is to gather together in the name of the Lord as the body of Christ. Even digitally, we are coming together to glorify God. Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. We think of all those that are impacted right now by COVID-19 and pray for God's mercies and presence in their grief, healing, and hope. May God be especially close to you and protect you during this time. We have some exciting news. On February 7th, we will start live streaming our Sunday worship service on Facebook and on YouTube. This is an important step towards returning to the building for worship, and it offers a new avenue for us to minister in a digital world. It means that we'll move away from the pre-recording of the elements of the worship service, and we will be recording live. We will continue live streaming our worship services even after we return to the building. So this is definitely a long-term strategy that we're moving into to reach the world for Christ. The second bit of great news is that next Sunday is Leadership Sunday, and we are looking forward to a creative ordination service for our new deacons on January 24th. Let's uphold these leaders in prayer and join them in loving God, loving people, and living the gospel. As we prepare our hearts and minds for worship today, I'm reminded of one of my favorite verses as of late, Romans 8:6. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Let's turn to the Lord and set our minds on His Spirit. Welcome to worship.
You seek me out. How could I be lost?
Last week, we started a sermon series called Creating a New Beginning. And we certainly celebrate that God is in the business of creating new beginnings for each of us. To get there, God works to set us free from things that enslave us and keep us from living an abundant life, which is a theme that we'll explore today. But first, we'll look at a scripture passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. In this passage, Paul brings to our attention the fact that some people in the Corinthian church have become enslaved to their appetites and their desires. Their focus is totally on themselves. They think that they're free to do whatever they want, and they even proclaim, "All things are lawful for me." But Paul points out that those who consider all things are lawful can quickly find themselves dominated by the very things that they pursue. Paul helps us see that Jesus Christ is the one who can set us free. And let's remember that we've been set free so that we can help build up God's kingdom and share God's love with the world around us, which is the path to a truly fresh start on life. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. Again, I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. Let's listen now to these words. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. A breach in ethics leads to serious and significant problems for the offender, affecting their families, their careers, their health, and their very own lives. And unfortunately, it is a storyline that we see more often than we care to remember. You may remember Kenneth Lay, who presided over the Enron accounting scandal. He and other leaders at Enron manipulated accounting rules and that masked different liabilities and losses in the company. And because of their actions, Enron went bankrupt and thousands of people lost their jobs. Lay was later convicted of 10 counts of securities fraud. And then he died just before his sentencing. 5 days after naming George O'Leary as their new football coach, the University of Notre Dame forced him to resign after learning that he falsified parts of his resume. He was caught in a series of lies. And more than a few politicians have had their careers go down in flames because of some kind of scandal. Many of them tried to cover up their indiscretions, which only added to their problems. Ethical problems come in many different shapes and forms, which we see in the Corinthian church. They had lots of problems. And if you read Paul's letter to the Corinthians from beginning to end, you'll see that they were in trouble. They had problems piled on top of other problems. Their behavior was troubling for Paul because it was inconsistent with the kind of life Jesus Christ expects from his followers. But their behavior wasn't isolated. In fact, it was more of a reflection of the city of Corinth, which was known as a promiscuous place. Think of Corinth as Sin City. People felt free to do whatever they wanted, and the city offered plenty of temptations like prostitution. As a seaport city, people traveled to Corinth to enjoy those temptations, and they did so without any reservation or embarrassment, because that sort of behavior was widely accepted by the general population. And apparently there were some church members who did so as well. They didn't see anything wrong with it. Corinth was also known as a center for healing. A temple to Asclepius was located there, which functioned as the city's country club. It had a swimming pool, dining facilities, and beautiful gardens. The temple was used by people in the upper class for elegant dinners at which meat offered to idols would have been served. And dinners like this were prestigious. Corinthians in general dreamed of going to these kinds of dinners because they had a ferocious appetite for climbing the social ladder. It's highly likely that some Christians within the Corinthian church had been invited to these kinds of events, and they would have had a hard time passing up an invitation. Of course, going to a dinner where you might feast on meat sacrificed to an idol might not seem like a big deal to us. It's just food, right? But it created lots of controversy in the early church, and it raised serious ethical questions about a person's true loyalty. Were they committed to an idol, or were they committed to the way of Jesus Christ? As we try to wrap our minds around this situation, one of the questions that rises up is, how did the Corinthian church justify their actions, especially with food and prostitutes? Well, apparently, the church either didn't understand Christian teachings, or they were misinterpreting the message of Christ to suit their own needs. We don't know which of these would more accurately describe the Corinthians, but we do know they were acting selfish. They were so focused on what they wanted for themselves that they were unable to know the freedom of being in true community with each other. And so Paul tried to guide them back on the right path, much like a shepherd who guides sheep when they've gone astray. Well, the Corinthians were lost sheep. But where exactly did they get off track? Well, I think it comes down to freedom. Specifically, they misinterpreted freedom, taking advantage of the idea that all things are lawful for those who have found freedom in Christ. Now, this is similar to the process that unfolds as children grow older and become teenagers. With growth, they naturally become more independent, and they often want to be free of control of their parents. And with growing freedom, teenagers will often test their parents by seeing how far they can bend the rules to get what they want. Sometimes, however, this gets out of hand, where their behavior becomes truly unruly and uncontrollable. Now, we can probably think of teens who have run amok when they've been given too much freedom. This sort of thing even happens within democracies. People don't always handle freedom very well. In our country, we're blessed with all kinds of rights and freedoms that many people in the world don't have. But just because we can legally do something doesn't make it right. There are responsibilities that go along with freedom. And when those responsibilities are ignored, people get into trouble or cause trouble for others. Now, the new year began with two of the highest-ranking members of Congress having their homes vandalized. Graffiti expressing displeasure with the most recent coronavirus aid package was painted on the homes of Mitch McConnell in Louisville and Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco. Now, we have the right to speak our mind, and freedom of speech is one of the hallmarks of our country, but this kind of behavior goes too far. And that's similar to the issue Paul addresses with the Corinthians. There were many people in the Corinthian church who welcomed with open arms the freedom they thought Christ gave to them. And they took this to mean that they had a license to do whatever they wanted. They thought freedom in Christ liberated them from all the rules that govern behavior. And they even had a slogan for this: "All things are lawful to me." The Corinthians lived with a carefree attitude about their behavior because they didn't think their behavior really mattered in the grand scheme of things. Biblical scholars attribute this to a theology influenced by dualism, which was prevalent in the first century. Now, this dualistic thinking separated the body from the soul, which led some Christians to think that they could do whatever they wanted with their bodies. They believed that in the end, God would just destroy the body and all its desires. And so from their viewpoint, these things don't really matter. But Paul makes the point that the body does matter. In verse 13, he says that the body is meant for the Lord and the Lord for the body. He then talks about how our bodies are members of Christ that will not be destroyed, but will be raised just as Christ was raised. Paul wanted the Corinthians to see that their bodies and their behavior matter. And he reminds them that while all things might be lawful, all things are not beneficial. This was a critical message the Corinthians needed to hear because they were acting like self-indulgent people, consuming whatever they wanted, including prostitutes and meat sacrifice to idols. They believed they could do these things without facing any consequences. But all of this consumption turned the Corinthians into really selfish people. They were focused almost entirely on their own wants, needs, and desires. And as a result, they turned away from other people, even those within their own church. This self-centered focus kept them from living fully into the kind of people God desired. Bottom line is that they were misusing freedom, and that prompted them to indulge their desires. And ultimately, they found themselves in bondage to a new master. Paul saw this clearly, and it led him to say in verse 12, "I will not be dominated by anything." Paul knew that freedom, if misused, can lead into a slavery to desire, which is exactly what happened to the Corinthians. They misunderstood Christian freedom. But what exactly is Christian freedom? Well, for Paul, this freedom comes with belonging to Jesus Christ, which is why he said in verse 19, "You are not your own. You belong to Christ." And it is through Jesus Christ that believers are given the freedom to follow God. We're not forced to do this. It's simply a gift. And that means the gift of freedom comes from a place of love. Freedom is rooted in love. And specifically, it's rooted in agape love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul describes this love as patient, kind, generous, humble, and truthful. It's a self-giving love. It's a love that has no limits, a love without boundaries or restrictions. This is the way God loves us. Throughout the Bible and throughout the history of the church, we have seen people respond to this love by working to create a better world, by sharing this love with others. And when we share this love, we are helping to build up God's church. Paul was interested in helping the Corinthians shift their focus outward, being more concerned with the good of others than their own good. Later in chapter 10, Paul writes, "All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Do not seek your own advantage, but that of the other." This is how we share love with others. But it is hard to love in this way if our hearts have turned inward and we're focused only on ourselves and our own needs instead of our neighbors. Perhaps you made some resolutions at the start of this new year to help you grow and improve. Personal growth is important. But if our efforts to grow cause us to turn away from others, then we probably need to take a step back and evaluate what we're trying to do. You see, God gives us freedom so that we can grow into more loving people. And we do that by seeking the good of others. As Paul said, do not seek your own advantage, but that of the other. Paul wanted the church to be a community that lives out the love of God by looking out for other people. This is what God desires from us. God wants us to share love with each other and with the world around us. That's why we're given freedom. And to get there, God wants to free us from overindulging on ourselves so that we can love others abundantly. Now, this message was so important to Paul that he repeated it often. He shared it with other churches like the Galatians. And in chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul wrote, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another." If you're searching for a new beginning today, look no further than Jesus Christ. It is through Christ that we're set free and given a fresh start on life. And we're set free so that we can love others and share God's love with the world around us. And by doing this, we're building up the church, we're building up God's kingdom, and we're making the world a better place. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we offer our thanks for the gift of your extravagant love and the new beginnings we find in Jesus Christ. These are gifts that we need now more than ever. We pray that you would set us free from those things that try to dominate our lives. And Lord, help us grow in love for each other and in our relationship with you. This we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We're together on this road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, let us commit to serving one another every day, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and beginning with those closest to us, especially our spouses and our children. Help us to find our place in your kingdom. Help us to be sensitive to your call, to the leading of your Spirit, that we might be the people you've called us to be, the people you long for us to be, that we might have a relationship with you that brings us closer to you, that reforms and shapes us into your image. And now let us go in peace. And as we go, may we know this, that by your grace, you've brought us into this world. By your mercy, you've sustained us to this very moment. And by your love, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, we are being redeemed now and forevermore. Amen.